So this episode of Scenario, audio wasn't as the highest quality as we normally would have it on the show. You know, we part-time engineers. We trying to learn all this stuff on the fly by YouTube and all kind of different things. So we building up, getting it better with our audio quality. But this episode was on location. We were up in a winery, so it wasn't a little bit as much as dope as the sound quality we normally have. But it's all dope content. It's dope fun as always. Y'all going to really, really enjoy this show. And when y'all finish, go vote in the brackets for the best black TV show of all time as well. Y'all going to really enjoy this one. Tune in. Let us know what y'all think. StraightOLC at gmail.com as well. StraightOLC on Twitter. And Straight Outta Low Cash fan page on Facebook as well. So let us know what y'all think. Keep rocking with us. We back. Another episode of The Scenario. Brother Matt.
What's the word, man? Fresh out the skies?
Yeah, fresh out the skies, man.
I seen you up in New York. You trying to start a label on the low?
Right. No, I wasn't trying to start no label. But I do have some stories about Dallas, though.
Rinky Dink Records?
No, not Rinky Dink Records.
We touched on that. But hey, but before we go too far down the line, man, this is a special edition of The Scenario
here.
Yeah,
we got a guest.
Because we got a guest. But more importantly, we got OG Hour. And we need that,
once
man.
Once a month, we're trying to do OG
Once
hour.
A month, we need OG Hour because, you know, I mean, we still young enough in the game. You know what I'm saying? We out here trying to, you know, put it out as best we know. But sometimes you got to, you know, lean to your slight elders. Maybe what you call your life elders.
There you go.
So, yo, man, we got my guy here. We got my homie here, man. His credentials speak for themselves. My guy, Orlando Pace in the building. Big O, what's word, man?
What's going on, Matt, man? Thanks for having me, man. Matt, obviously, we've had a lot of discussions.
A lot, yeah.
I'm finally glad to be on air, man, so I can dispute some of these discussions we've had. That you brought to the table.
There's been plenty of times where O's looked at me and been like, hold up, wait, run that back. Y'all left out a lot of things that need to be in there. And basically, it's the same thing the rest of y'all complain at me or us about, and that's the brackets. That's the dopest lady of all time.
In the streets about the bracket.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, well, I get Matt, calls from family about the brackets.
Matt didn't get to me to like the final eight or something, man. And I had a lot of questions at that point in time. Like, bro, what happened to her? What happened here? And, you know, so I said I gotta get on air to discuss this with you guys, man.
We are willing to be held accountable for everything we do here. I'm gonna get the brackets up. I haven't looked at that one in a little while.
Are we going back to the dopest win bracket?
Yeah, we can go to all of them. We're gonna touch on all of them.
Let's get right into it. Matter of fact,
we're gonna do a rundown of a few things because, you know, we need your thoughts on some of these things we got here too. Like Daryl, let's go back into the Medium archives before we go too far back. Let's go back to Ralph Tresvant. Because, like, everybody has seen this happen. And, like, to bring everybody back up to speed on where we've been at before, Ralph Tresvant is when your homeboy steps out of the shadows and ends up getting some shine that you were supposed to get.
It's like the dude that worked below you that was assistant supervisor. Now he above you.
Right.
And you don't know how. You just went out of town for the weekend and you came back. And now he the new crew chief. McDonald's. Like, hold on, he's just on lettuce.
Right. How you work his way up to five?
Yeah, that's what I say, that fast.
Wait a minute, you say he got the secret to the sauce? Right.
How did he get the secret to the sauce?
I'm still getting it with the spoon in it already, but he's throwing it together.
Yeah, I think everybody got one of those in the crew, or at least had that happen to him at some point in time. Man.
Oh, yeah, you'd be like, dang, man, he was a scrub in college. This dude a lawyer now.
I'm telling you.
But the only problem is, though, when you see him again, you go back to the revert to how the crew was before.
Right.
And you're like, oh, no, man. You know you got to sit in the middle of the car, right?
Like, you see, like since we happened, we had, like, another high-profile Tresvant situation almost. Ryan Fitzpatrick threw a beard on and almost passed Jameis up.
His street cred went up on that, though, right?
Dog.
And he's wearing it with the jacket and
with
stuff?
With the jacket, with the taco meat out, man.
He went out and got D-Jack's fit and decided – forget it. It's just me now.
He should keep that going though. He could have marketed that.
Oh, they would. I would every
press conference. I would have came with a different dope blazer with the taco meat.
Oh, absolutely.
And I would have got some deal with somebody with some beard company or something.
The only difference is he got to play that way though. Ever since that press conference, He hadn't been the same, though. Yeah,
yeah.
He
yeah.
fell off.
Yeah.
He fell off ever since he was.
Yeah,
maybe
that's
he
true.
Hanging with D-Jack too much, man. I'm not sure.
He was at the club.
But like, as far as like NFL cities where you can get yourself in a little bit of mix, Tampa Bay can't be too high up for this.
Tampa's one of them cities. Tampa's one of those cities you can get a lot of trouble, man.
Tampa has the most strip clubs in the country.
For real? Like per capita or like volume?
The only reason I noticed is I literally looked
because you've spent some time in Tampa.
No.
Oh, okay.
I was in Dallas and I was like, dude, we were riding and I'm like, I'm seeing strip club. I was like, is Dallas had the most strip clubs? I just Googled. I was sitting there in the Uber, just Googled it. And I was like, and they said, no, Tampa's number
Tampa,
one.
Yeah, you can get some trouble in Tampa, man.
Oh,
Tampa
the Fitzmagic might have had a little bit of extra something to it.
I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying. He hadn't played the same since he put the shades on and D-Jack clothes on. That's all I'm saying.
Well, because I'm a believer. I've been writing the game for 10 years or so. You've got closer figures of things out, but I'm a believer that you only got so many laps in your legs. And Fitzmagic might have took a few laps off he didn't plan on using. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm going to say.
But I agree with you. He should have rolled that look on out, man, for a few more weeks, man.
I would have rolled that out. I'd have been like I'd have been out at the gas station everywhere like that, where people just see me as somewhere like Fitz.
Yeah, this Fitzmagic.
Young
Fitzmagic.
I'm gonna get Fitzmagic on the back of the jacket. And
absolutely.
Like rhinestones.
Absolutely.
Bezeled out on the back.
So that's like an example of what the Ralph Tresmanton is. It's kind of hard when you see it go down like in your own crew, though, and you be like, yo.
But you got to be happy for people. That's when your big boy pants come on. You got to be happy for them regardless.
So when you get Tresvantage, you still got to be behind them, though, for it, though.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I mean, Ralph didn't take it too well. It seemed like he was up and down with everybody.
You think Ralph's salty now that he didn't get his own movie?
He's definitely salty. because Bobby's been stealing the show for years,
right? Right, Ralph is such a low. You saw the Bobby Brown joint, didn't you?
Yeah.
So like, did you peep the scene where Ralph Tresvant was on there, but it wasn't really him? They just had his head down in the back.
And they doing Ralph bad out here, man.
But Ralph, you could always tell that Ralph felt like he shouldn't have been there for real because I should have been solo. And then all the songs that they wanted to give to him, they gave to Bobby.
Ralph really wanted to do his thing early, but his market appeal I don't think was there.
No. Yeah, he was still singing the bubblegum tracks when Bobby was like
two or three songs on BBD's album too. Supposed to go to Ralph too.
Yeah.
Well, but then when Bobby started throwing that thing in the first row face, and they was like, "Well, Bobby Brown, good to go solo." He said it.
We can do this right now.
So that's our idea, Tresvant. Another one of our old theories I wanted to throw past you. I really want to get your thoughts on this. Is what makes up a crew? Like what goes into a crew? Now we got the positions down. And see how these fit into your history with it. Because you got a little bit different time span.
Yeah, are we talking about my younger crew or my 40-year-old crew? Because there is a different
thing.
There is different dynamics in it now.
Okay, so then what we're going to do is we're going to talk, because ours is definitely based on the younger crew. Okay, so we're going to pop our younger crew past you.
Right.
And then you tell us about where it's headed now.
We need to think about that.
No, because I don't know about that.
We're getting there, though.
That's what OG I was about.
Hey,
I got an older crew.
Hey, Matt's in the older crew now. He don't even know it yet.
I'm the youngest cat in the older crew.
Yeah, he's drinking vino and smoking cigars. That's what we do in the older crew, man.
That's a big announcement too. I signed a 20-year deal with vino. I'm strictly sipping beer and wine now. I'm like the person that gets to the wedding early and I leave before it gets too late.
Hey, no more hard liquor until hard liquor shows up, man.
And sometimes hard liquor flies into your life, like it did last Friday when that Angels envy landed on the table.
So let's go with the crew. So we got the top superstar.
Yeah, superstar's at the top. So that's like the kind of the person that the activity's following him around, but he might not be aware of it or care, but it's following him around.
Right.
But sometimes superstar cares.
Yeah, no, superstar cares.
They always care. Don't get that twisted.
They do care. They do care, but it's like, oh, man, like Tim Badwin tried to holler at me. It ain't that big of a deal.
Yeah, he tried to play it down at least outside to make him look like more of a superstar.
Yeah, that's what
but in his head.
He loved it, though.
That's like the quarterback in the locker room. Oh, you know what? They give you credit up, then all of a sudden, you know, but they really want all the shine.
Is that like
they know it's coming their way anyway.
Is that like the guy that buys watches for the whole O-line?
Yeah. And then
the O-line be like, we're going to need a little bit more than this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, fellas, here's a little something. No, we need more, man. We need more.
And that's when you get that highlight the next week. Like, boy, he hasn't got touched all season, but he just got five pressures in the first quarter.
Yeah, we need a little bit more.
All right, so next we got the utility man. Now, utility man
was negotiator's next.
Oh, no, the negotiator's after utility man. Utility man's like the vice president can step up in case. So So the utility man.
Oh, y'all got a rank too, though.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. There's an order of precedence here. Okay, yeah. All right. So there's the utility man is up next because he's like the guy that can do a little bit of everything. Like, right. You know, he can negotiate. He can ride out. He can bang if you need him to. He can be the superstar. He can even step up and maybe steal the shine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Kind of like the Brady Bledsoe moment, right. Where it could get bad. But he don't want to be there. But that's where he got to be.
Is he next in line? The utility guy is next in line.
He's next in line to every position.
Yeah. He's if one of the other positions aren't there, he can fill in that position. Position.
Okay. Multi-talented.
Except maybe henchman. That's a real struggle for a utility man to really go down to.
Usually your henchman gonna be there anyway, because most of the time it's like, hey, we going out. All right, bet. Let's go.
Hey, that's all he got. He's
throwing on probably the smallest shirt. Like he's got to not get ready. He's just throwing on a shirt.
Push ups before he goes out.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the one that's got a chin-up bar in his living room and in the hallway.
Nice.
Then we got the negotiator.
Yeah,
the
negotiator.
Just the one that gets you in any, everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, he's an adjacent to the superstar to a certain extent because he actually, him and the superstar have the same type of women they like.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or the same women like them, like their A-B.
Yeah.
Situation. And they always know, like, oh, well, I got the hookup over here, though. Mm-hmm. Or you go into some club in some city, nobody know you. And they like, oh, no, I got everybody already in. Like,
right.
Hey,
you definitely need a guy like that at all times.
He just talks his way into situations.
Yep. Absolutely.
He also is the cat that ends up in the long run being the, yo, how'd he get with her? Cat.
Yeah.
Because he got the piece.
Well, you know, he got the mouthpiece. So that's the reason.
He's always ahead. Next up, we'll touch on the henchman. Now, the henchman speaks for himself. You know what I'm saying?
These are your shooters. Like, if you had a drug dealing organization, you have multiple of these people.
Right.
Yeah, you got to have as many of those as possible. Like, you just got the cat that's always going to be there. It's going to be like, he's ready to rumble right away. But if you'd be like, no, we good. You'd be like, we good?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we good.
Everything's good.
All right, as long as we good.
Savage with the women, too. He's the one that'll take he's the one that'll take the five.
He's number two savage.
If he's the one, he'd be like, don't worry about it.
He'll take the, okay,
yeah,
I got you. Don't worry about that.
Ultimate.
And he might even inject himself before, knowing that he's just going to go and take the bottle rail.
He'll take one for the team, but enjoy it.
Yeah.
Right?
He's like the Chris Carwell of the crew. He's going to take the charge. and he's going to get up, and he's going to be like, yeah, that's what I'm here for. Like the Udonis Haslam of the game.
Rebounds. Or the
Draymond Green.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Draymond Green of your crew.
Yes.
Steph Curry is your superstar, obviously.
Yeah, there you go.
Warriors are a good analogy for this. The other thing is the what's the next one? Oh, the wheelman.
The wheelman.
Yeah. The wheelman.
It's your driver.
Okay.
It's the one that keeps everybody like, no, we got, we can't be riding like this. Like, he's the one that settles everything down.
Okay.
He's also your chaplain. Like, he's also the moral compass for the crew.
Yeah, you need one of those guys.
Yeah,
the moral
compass. That's going to be like, hey, man, we kind of wilding right now.
Right. You'd be like, hold up, y'all. Like, he the one that sits there and talks to the bartender like, no more. We got to roll.
Cut him off. No more.
Yeah.
Bill, and I'll put, you know, the square this up.
He's usually more one of the most moral compass too, though. So it's like,
right. Hey
man, why you do that to this old girl, man?
Right.
He the one that can talk to your girl and get her back for you too.
I liked her, man. Like, I'm gonna call her.
Hey, she was real decent for you, and was she? She was real decent.
Is
for
the
you.
Wheel man once the guy once the superstar gets jammed up? Does he call the wheel man? Does she call the wheel man?
Either wheel man or the utility man.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Either wheel man or the utility man is the go-to. He's the martyr of the crew almost. Yeah. And then last, I thought we might have had seven.
Happy to be there.
That's the one that's just enthusiasm. He down. He going to be like, yo, let's get some shots. You know what I'm saying? Let's get going.
Yo, where we going?
Yo.
He the one calling out, like, where we going?
Yeah. Like, he's the one more likely than not, but on the low to get the crew together. Because he got the enthusiasm.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Man, everybody come on my crib. We pre-drink. And we go out. And we kick it.
I like it.
You know, and he's also wanting to be like, hey, so who on who?
Right.
Try to figure it out.
Yeah. Or like, oh, no. Or just inject themselves into a crew situation. You're like, oh, no, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be
here. He's like the one you got to keep under control, though, because if that gets too out of control, then it becomes annoying. Right.
He's the guy to be like, yo, I'm with the superstar, and let every girl in the club know. I'm with
exactly.
Yeah,
you can come drink with us, but he ain't paying.
Yep,
that's that guy.
Yep,
that's exactly him.
Yeah, I know a couple people
that's
like
exactly
that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like he bring him to the table, but it's his chick he just met, but he acting like it's his bottle or something.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Or the superstar of the town, he's like, yeah, I'm a house sit over your house, but this is my crib. So
like we did parties, he was always the cat that be like, oh man, you know, I run this whole
yeah,
party.
Yeah, 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 this is really mine.
Like,
I gave him an idea for Glow.
He's the cat that the bottle might get bought, but he might jump up on the couch.
Yeah,
like, people look
at him. He the guy jump on the couch. Yeah, absolutely.
He's the guy on the couch, though. Like, he's the one, you know, fist pumping.
So like, that's how the crew goes for us, and like, right. That's us recollecting like backwards too,
right,
like maybe
right.
10 years in our past, so getting back into like our mid-20s, you know, coming out of college, you know, right. First hitting the scene, figuring it out type of crew. So like, I know you can relate to days.
Yeah absolutely. One thing that I would say is maybe the crew was smaller, but there was a mixture of a lot of that going on.
So some people
guys
had two different roles. Two roles at the same time.
Absolutely. They could be like 2 to 3 roles, depending on who it is, right? And I agree, you always need that henchman that makes you calm everything down and make sure everything, you know, is ready to go at any time.
Now, let me ask you, though, because back when you was working, back when you had a job.
Right. Yeah.
The de facto enforcer on the field, right?
Right.
So did people think that was naturally
like
going to be
like in real
you
life,
too?
Like
look, because look, you, because you super chill in real life.
Let me say this though, right? So, like in college, I was the enforcer, though, right? Mm-hmm. So I see Eddie George or Terry Glenn over in the union party about to get at some you know, some brothers or something. So I got to go protect my guys. It's football. Mm. Football players are different. You know, we're different like that. We protect them on and off the field. So we had a few scuffles, man, in college. And where I had to be the henchman in that group.
Okay.
So I think I
so
worked.
So you was the henchman in college.
Like, because we was just waiting. You know, as football players at Ohio State, we just wait. You know, if something go on, we all got to be
so
in the mix.
Everybody got to get in.
Absolutely.
That's not a fight you want. You want to fight the 96 Buckeyes? Like, no, I'm good. Like, I'm 100% good.
So I know that role. You know, you got to protect your guys, your quarterbacks, and all that, man. It's just
By the time you got to here, got to St. Louis or whatnot, would you still find like as you falling back and use like utility man?
I was falling back. I was forming my own crew at that time.
Oh, okay. Good to go solo.
Because Ohio State was a crew. It was like going into like the military. Like you just kind of like just in this. You get out the military, you can start your own company. Basically.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
It kind of work around like how you want to do
you
it.
You got to get a guy. I had a homeboy that I always every time I called him, I knew he would go out with me.
Okay.
So he's happy to be here / enforcer.
Yeah, and then I always had somebody, he could have been a local guy or somebody, just was like, yo, if anything go down, oh, I got you. I ain't know him.
It's dope to get you.
Like,
you touch down in that city, you're 21. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's love, like right off the top.
And then back then, you always had the pretty boy to go get the girls and bring them up to the spot.
Yep.
But yeah, that was you know, the crews are different now. Now I'm 40-year-old. The crew is completely different.
So
what is the difference now?
Yeah.
Like, what is the setup of a crew now?
Like I said, we're sipping. We're sitting like no more late nights, at least not too many.
Mm-hmm.
We sit and watch football. You know, drink wine, smoke cigars, chill out. But we talk about, you know, and there's always a younger guy in the crew, right? So we try to school him on life, right? And we sit in this room, and we, you know, you hear a young guy that comes in, and he thinks he knows everything. I'm ready to get married. I'm telling you I'm ready to get married. Well, brother, let's sit down. Let's talk to you for a minute. Are you sure you're ready to do this? You know what I mean? Or a brother that's just, you know, out here wild, we try to calm him down. That's just what we do. But then we talk about business. We talk about family. We talk about kids. We talk about real life stuff, politics, whatever it might. So, you know, it's not necessarily, we don't necessarily have a henchman, but there's some casters, some old henchmen in the crew that's ready to get down there.
They go and bring out that.
It's like,
so it's like original gangsters.
Yeah.
Where everybody came back, all the old gangsters.
Well, save for when he got his back broken, got thrown into prison. It's kind of like Dark Knight of Returns when he was like, all right, let me throw this costume on and go get this city right real quick. But like, even like your go out sets be like different now. Like yesterday we was at the winery. Half crew deep. Good.
Half crew deep.
Chilling.
Tinga is a great day, too.
You be MasterCarding your crew with your women. Like, it's like a whole different thing.
Hey, that's
thing.
The difference, though, right? So you go on, like, couple dates. Like, it's like 3 or 4 couples, and you just stop. That's your crew. That's what y'all do at 40 plus.
So the women are injected within the crew now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. See, that's when you know you get known. You're like, yo, let's just have a date day, a complete date day. We go out at 1 o'clock, then get back to, like, 11 o'clock.
Spent.
All day. That's what the older crew
what
do.
What are the women roles in these crews? Since it's a co-ed, so it's like the co-ed volleyball team.
It's like intramurals.
Intramurals,
right.
Exactly.
Right. First of all, you hope they blend. You hope the wives and the girlfriends blend
point,
and get along,
point, yeah.
Right? That's the key to that. And then after that, you know, once alcohol is involved and we're having a good time, it's
everything
all good.
Levels
everything,
out.
Everything levels itself out, man.
So the crew, yeah, the crew evolves like all things. If you're lucky, your crew evolves. So take notes. Keep evolving your crew. And like and as always, all crews aren't going to always have everybody in the same crew. You're going to have different crews. You're going to still have remnants of your young crew that you still have your time with. You'll have your older crew, but it's all good. Different crews have different purposes.
But that's all healthy too, though, man.
Hell
the,
yeah.
The thing that you got to, we got to, you know, even when we talk younger crews, older crews, when do you leave that crew where you say, all right, it's too much?
Like,
when guys aren't growing the way that you might be growing, mm-hmm. right? Do you guys feel some type of?
I mean, I've been blessed to have most of my people that I've been cool with kind of been progressing,
right.
as I have.
Absolutely,
you know what I'm saying. I got like maybe one or two homeboys that didn't, but mostly in general, and it was almost kind of like, man, they doing them. You know, it's just kind of like iron sharpens iron, so they just constantly
absolutely
move
and that's
up
when you
too.
Know you got a good crew, man. When you got guys that like we sit here and we and guys that bring different points of views to and have people thinking differently, man, which is important. You said iron sharpens iron, man. And if we can all help each other out, business, personal, whatever, man, I think it's more loyalty the older you get, too.
Oh, for sure.
And what's even funny, what about when two superstars get in the same room? So his superstar he rolled with was in the same room with my superstar.
Uh-oh.
And it was like, it was like kind of like Highlander a little bit. Like, it was a little bit of Highlander, but it was like, they was like, it was respect, but it was like,
right.
It really can only be one. Like, in here, like, we at this point, it only can really be one. So, you know what? You stay on that side of the party.
That's
I'm
going
to stay on this side of the house.
That's
you know, I'm work this side. You work that side.
Hey,
you know, we'll come together later on.
Hey, speaking of, like, the superstar pandemic, like, you gave me a pandemic like it's an outbreak. Yeah. That was, I would say epidemic.
Right.
Like, it's a great thing to have. It's out there. But you got a dope-ass story about being in the room when superstars, like, on a legit level, start tearing off against other superstars.
Oh, like the supreme superstar.
Like,
yeah.
Like, the story of his earnest and how even superstars was lining up to say what's up.
Oh, yeah, brother.
To Michael Jordan.
Brother. Yeah, I was fortunate enough to go to MJ's, maybe it was his 50th party in Vegas, a birthday party in Vegas. And it was, dude, I've seen stars. People like you, like, chef, like dudes lining up to talk. I was in line. Let me just say that. So at some point,
full disclosure, I was in line.
Hey, at some point, you got to understand, you got to respect. You know, you got to respect greatness. And everybody, you know, everybody's at different levels in their life, man. But you got to show some respect to guys who really great in their craft. So I think part of being a leader, I won't even say a leader of a crew, because everybody, but just, you know, you got to respect greatness, basically.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Did Michael Jordan say to you, "I don't mess with niggas"? Though, did he say that? Like, because he said he's a millionaire.
Nah, he didn't say that.
Daryl's got beef with Michael Jordan.
No. I'm from Chicago originally. I don't have no beef with.
Dude, let me just say this. I was like, look, I'm gonna tell you a story. Michael's in St. Louis for some reason.
When he was at Club 7.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So he came up and he said,
"A legendary night."
He said, "What's up, Big O?" I said, "What?" I felt like a little schoolgirl, man. I can't lie. Hey, I went home and told my wife, like, babe, guess what? Michael Jordan know who I am, dude. I was good.
You could have left the club that night.
Yeah,
I was like,
yeah,
I can go.
Yeah,
I can
Mike
go.
Walked through. I was like, oh, I'm good, baby. This is it. That's Mike know who I am, baby. I made it. That's it. So,
that's love.
That was love.
I mean, if you get to a point, you know, and like some really dope ass people know who you are on the strength of that, like, that's like another level. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Michael's always a childhood idol, man. So, you know, anytime a guy recognized that, I was like a little schoolgirl, man. I'm telling you.
So
would you just pause and he just kept walking by? Like,
no, he dapped me up and you know all that,
oh,
man. So I was
so you
cool.
Was, you was
a little time,
frozen,
yeah. Damn, so I was trying to play it cool though, like
yeah. Of course you did, but like, in your head though.
In my head, I was frozen. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how it was. Cause I was a huge fan, you know, all that, man. So I was like, hey, that's Mike, man. You know, we all when you seen him walk to the club, you're like, damn, that's Mike for real.
Because it was him and
Oakley. Absolutely. I was there that night.
This is another topic.
Charles Oakley is one of our favorites also.
Right.
Your backyard alley fighters.
Right.
Can you give us five of people?
Top five
knew,
time.
Like, for real. And if somebody got some charges or something, you ain't got to list them, but you can list.
Tomorrow,
like,
just people or celebrities?
So we going to say.
People you know like that was in athletics that you knew, like you saw them out there getting it in. Five backyard alley dudes. If you was like, I got to bring these five dudes to this alley.
Oh, Oakley, like, one of them, man. Oakley. Give me Oakley Mason.
Rest in peace to Anthony.
Yeah, rest in peace to Anthony.
The great Anthony Mason.
Them dudes used to go. Give me
That's one gooned up squad right there.
You already started out with two hitters.
I already told. Look, I'm not playing if I'm in the alley, man. Hey, y'all ain't gonna like this one, man. But Bill Laimbeer, man, he was like, look, dude.
You just want an antagonizing white guy.
I do. Just somebody that's just gonna be like, you know. But you can give me the whole bad boy squad, man. They was not playing.
Isaiah,
man,
might be the most protected superstar in the history of sports.
I'm trying to tell you.
You can put Steph Curry on those Pistons and he could still get off some stuff because cats don't want them haymakers and them lines that was coming.
Because he would draw like 40 though and they win like but with 60 points, like it was like all we doing is boarding now.
Now in that vein, I got a question. So in the theory of like folks, I always say that like on Hard Knocks, like you only see a fraction of what a training camp really is like between the guys.
Right.
Is there a guy that you was in like training camp with that he really got to his edge and he was burnt up and he was like, oh, you don't want hands with him. He gonna bring the ruckus to you.
Yeah, it was a couple of dudes you just didn't play with. Yeah, there was.
We call them the can't go back all stars. It's like cats that came from like a hood, and they like they can't go back.
Like this is who I am.
No, I'm gonna make this squad though too because I can't go back.
Oh yeah, it was a couple cats. So you get a couple rookies in there, and they got to sing songs. So you get a couple cats like, dude, I ain't singing nothing. Like, dude, hold on, it's a rookie, bro. So as vets, you got to buck. Like, hey, dog, yeah, you got to sing. He like, man, I ain't singing nothing. Like, he had too much street in him. Like, bro, sing the song, man. No, big old, I ain't singing nothing, man. I ain't gonna make me sing. Okay. I'm going to have to tape you up, throw you in the ice tub, get all that hood out of you, bro. What you going to do now? You can't fight 50 dudes.
No,
that's not a fight worth taking.
This sounds like a guy from Cincinnati for some reason.
Cincinnati?
No, I mean, I don't
you
know,
from
I,
Ohio. Is yeah, that yeah, yeah, Cincinnati's yeah, 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 that town?
Well, no, I was thinking Cincinnati Bearcats from, like, basketball. Anytime anything that's hood is going on, I think of, like.
Oh, like Steve Logan and Jason Maxfield and them?
You goddamn right. You know what I'm thinking about. Anything Bob Huggins squads don't
for Danny. Yeah,
all Huggins squads.
That's all them Huggins squads. Right? Even in West Virginia right now, they be thugging out on people.
Yeah, I feel like Bob Huggins is the closest we got to Nick Nolte and Blue Chips. Only he wasn't like going to like the backyards. He was going to like the county clink and like watching games and being like, and, we got a full like, ride
like,
for
like,
you.
Like, oh, you already did 2 years of JUCO though. When you get out?
Mm-hmm. It's like that old UNLV squad, right? Larry so Johnson.
Tarkanian.
Hey, he would go in, he go in some.
Yeah.
And picked some of them cats up, too.
Tark, wasn't it? Yeah,
Tark did the same. When he left UNLV and went to Fresno, he was doing that. That's because, went there with him, didn't he? Skip to my Lou.
And guys just out there thugging.
That's right.
And he got him off the court in the Rucker.
Thugging.
Skip to my Lou didn't even have him taking the ACT, no nothing. Skip to my Lou went to Fresno State at like 21 years old as a freshman. Because he was like.
Because he hadn't been to school in
five
years.
No, he hadn't been to school.
He hadn't been to school since he was about 16.
Was out there at the Rucker.
Oh,
it was like,
the Rucker recruit,
I was like,
man.
Like, hey, you know what?
Hey, you good. Hey, well, don't worry about your test scores. We got you,
this
brother.
Fresno. I know people.
Hey, OGI was off to a good start, man. Let's take a break real quick. We're going to come back. We got one more thing that I know Big O got beef with us about to throw out there about one of the past brackets. We're going to touch on the TV bracket right now where we at. We're in the finals of that piece right now. Then we're going to touch on a couple of topics right now from this week. But, yo, OGI, what's the scenario? We'll be right back.
Welcome back. We back. Matt.
Let the OGI will continue, yeah, man.
Go ahead, get into this bracket. Your discrepancies in this bracket, man.
Oh, man. There's a few of them. Matt came to me with this bracket a little late. Man.
I got blamed for a lot.
He did.
By
he
this
like,
guy.
How'd you let this happen, man?
How'd you let this happen?
First of all, let me throw my disclaimer out there. All these women are beautiful. Wouldn't take anything from any of them. That Beyonce decision was rough,
so
man.
Angela Bassett, Beyonce.
See, here's my problem with that. And I'm just going to umbrella myself underneath.
That was a North Carolina team that came in a little bit overconfident.
I'm going to umbrella myself underneath his disclaimer. So I'm covered as well. Grandfather clause. There's nobody on earth that's going to see them two things walk in the room next to each other and is going to willingly tell Beyonce to have a seat in order to run with Angela Bassett.
See that people, I think people are losing all the factors. Like you talked about Oprah offline with the Stacey Jazz joint. People like, there's women that identify and live through Angela Bassett through her roles and stuff like that. Beyonce too, but I think it's a little bit more deeper, like your mama dope type thing. Like
I think Beyonce is trumping all of that.
Right.
Man,
Beyonce got a whole clan. I ain't never heard about the Angela Hive,
Right, but Angela is what, like 20 years older, 25 years older than her.
The High's still going to be around in 20 years.
Also, but also listeners, everybody starts sending that picture of Angela Bassett when she had her bathing suit on for her 60th, like, send this to Matt, and everybody else that was hating. When our listeners said, he's sending it.
Like, see, first of all, I was offended by that. Like, I'm not constantly on the prowl catching this footage. Brother, you can't send me too many hot pics I ain't seen on the Instagram.
Hey, but you,
we got
but,
a whole group.
Well, you look at Halle Berry. Versus Nia Long.
I can't really look her in the eye either. Like, even a picture of Halle Berry, I don't want to look in the eyes.
Man, she's timeless, man. Yeah. You know, she's a little older, but she is timeless, timeless beauty.
Yeah.
Because I was in the Final Four, right?
It was in the Final Four, yeah.
Halle ain't took no hits in the last 10 years. Absolutely. None. She in the same condition as she was in 2008.
Nia Long is too,
though. Yeah, she kept moving.
Nia Long looks good, too, man. I mean.
I'm just going to say that Halle peak compared with that Halle age out.
That's where you got to go.
Give me the edge.
Let's get both of them at their peak. Who's mm-hmm. Who's the better?
That we didn't put that as criteria. We just said overall legacy.
I told you I was voting for peak powers.
I was saying overall legacy.
Give me the criteria, though, right?
I mean, I guess we need to figure this out. We need to actually define this criteria.
Yeah. Well, you had three different people who bringing it forward. So,
well, Oprah's worth $1 billion, right? That seems like enough criteria.
I feel like brother David Chappelle outlined the what needs to go down in order for that. Get away from Oprah. like that's first of all,
because
that's a meal ticket. That's a meal ticket.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's a banquet.
Absolutely.
That's tri-generational
wealth.
If
that'll get you to the next round, just a bill alone will get you to the next round. Something's wrong.
Either that speaks to the power of money, or that speaks to the shallowness of our voters. One or the other.
Hey, there you go.
You voted for Oprah in that round?
I absolutely voted for Stacey Dash.
Okay, so that tells a lot about our voters right there, man.
You can settle the debate me and him have. I made sure that it was a 4-3 matchup. I had to put – because him and Dub love Zoe Saldana. I think they overrating her. I put up against Sade. They said, there's no way possible that Zoe Saldana's going to lose to Sade. I was like, Sade's going to Sweet 16 at the minimum. What?
Sade's not
said,
bad.
Hold my beer.
Absolutely. Sade's not bad.
They
man.
Got her up out the paint.
Again, this goes back to my thing. Them two things walked in the room. I'm not going to look at either one like they don't belong.
I'm talking about timeless, classy, and can sing.
Yes.
Man. Bro.
I'm too deep into this. No, I'm not. I'm not.
He's digging his heels so much into the argument, he can't come back.
He can't come back now.
I'm like those people. I'm like those midterm Trump voters right now.
I got to keep my position.
Like, do you own a MAGA hat? Yes. Do you wear it? No. When did you buy that MAGA hat? Check yes for over 13 months ago.
Right. Absolutely.
So it's understandable. Again,
like
this is
Nicole, all. Nicole Murphy.
Now, we're going to give you room to discuss Nicole Murphy.
Yeah, I'm a big Nicole Murphy fan.
Big fan.
Know, brother. Big fan.
Big fan. Big seed. Yeah. Big seed of always doing
She probably would have been my Final Four, you know, obviously.
Moving along.
She got knocked out by who? She knocked
did
out
she
by
face off with Vanessa Williams?
Was it Stacey Dash?
No, it's different. That's a different side, I thought.
But I will make a suggestion, though.
Go ahead.
Let's do it like you guys need to do it like the NCAA tournament, man.
Mm-hmm.
64.
Yeah, it's coming. 64 is on.
All right, man. Fine. You know what? We got one more bracket. We got one controversial bracket we're working on, but we got one more fun bracket to get done. But for the holiday season. Come on, O. Let's put this together. We want to invite you to come and join us.
Hey,
let me put this thing together.
Hey, man. I can be the OG the 40 and older.
Okay,
you get some young guys to do the younger.
Let's do it. We'll take the mid shift.
How'd you guys see them though? Because I see Gabrielle got a bye first round.
Like a half a day, man. It was literally like we were really the NCAA committee. We argued over different seats.
There was deliberation. There was deliberations, and at least a half a bottle of Gusta went into this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we was getting through this thing the best way we know how.
Right. And let me ask you this though: Does this bracket matter when you go to the when you go to 64?
Yes.
Seeding.
Yes, you have to take that. It's coming. It's part of. It's not everything. It's 20, 30, 40%
okay.
of the full.
So Nia Long's the number one
overall seed.
Look at it this way: like how Gonzaga started getting better seeds year
right.
after year after year.
Absolutely.
Some of the showing in this is going to impact your seeding year
Absolutely.
After year.
Absolutely.
So she lost to Nia Long. Nicole Murphy lost to Nia Long.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Which isn't bad. Which isn't. Nia's been doing it for what? How long? 20
Which is the
years?
Legacy? The legacy thing is a complicator though, because if you're doing it off legacy, there's gonna be some people you're gonna give deference to. You know what I'm saying? But like if you got people on there, you're just looking at them peak powers, and you're just looking at that the powers at that longevity. It's a different thing. Like the goal to me was to get people to evaluate, make tough calls. Like you got the Jedi versus the Sith with Oprah versus Stacey Dash.
My most controversial pick that people laughed at the most was Steph Curry's mama.
Yeah, y'all threw Mama Curry in there, man.
She deserved it. I thought she deserved
the spot.
They
didn't give her a real. It's Steph Curry's mama. If you look at the list, it's Steph Curry's mama.
That's what y'all called her. Steph
Curry's mama.
She took on what's her name in the play-in round.
Yeah, she beat Margot the new princess.
Oh yeah, Meghan Markle. She took on Meghan Markle. Old school yellow versus new school yellow.
Let me ask you that though. Does she step up in the next bracket?
Well, since she was playing in the play-in round, I mean, you know,
she's gonna be a little bit lower seed. And I mean, Steph Curry's mama is kind of timeless now. I don't know how she's become timeless.
Four championships, man. Three championships, baby.
Hey, during the NBA playoffs, she gets plenty of airtime.
Yo, the most mama ever to get the airtime outside of Allen Iverson's mama.
No question.
But she was just Allen Iverson's mama would just be extra, and that's why.
For completely different reasons. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Steph Curry mom don't even talk.
No, she don't
just
talk.
There next, and Dale and be just, sitting there just like, you know it.
You know it.
Mm-hmm. We did a whole theory about how Dale Curry ended up with her one show, and it was probably the most.
I'd like to hear that, man.
Well, we'll have to play that back for you sometime.
In essence, we were basically saying that he was, you know, he played for the Hornets. I think 400's out the college. No, he got her in college.
Richmond. He got her out of that D.C. area.
Yeah, he got her out of D.C. because she went to school with him, didn't she?
I think so, something like that.
And he was like.
But we created a whole subplot.
Yeah, we made a whole.
That was.
Thing of a whole plan.
It's rumoring at its absolute finest.
But Dale had game, man. He could hoop. He could shoot, man.
He had the light skin thing going for him.
Absolutely.
The mid-80s light skin thing going for him. He was shooting that ball. He was getting that six-man money. And that six-man money ain't bad money.
Absolutely. You know? Let me ask you guys a question. When was I'm going to get back on this Nia Long thing.
Yes.
When was she really at her peak? When did you guys see her at her peak?
96.
What movie?
Best Man is probably Ron. That's peak Nia Long era, late 90s.
Okay. That was her peak.
Best Man, what year was Best Man? Like 98? 99. 99? Oh, okay. See, it's all starting to feel 19 years ago, man. Yeah. 19 years ago is the barrier.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Let me pull up her.
Nia Long, I felt like, here's my thing. I felt like Nia Long never had that one dominant era, but she was always present. Like, she was always there, but she never was dominant.
Right.
Like, I don't know.
Did y'all know Samora? Y'all know Samora is her sister?
I didn't know that either.
That's her half sister.
I just want to know how y'all go with Lisa Bonet versus Felicia Rashad.
Had to do it. We had to do that.
We always pick Cosby against Cosby.
Cosby against Cosby.
In the TV brackets, we put Cosby Show versus Different World.
I was a huge fan as a kid of Lisa Bonet, though, man.
What was your best young Lisa Bonet? A Different World or when she was getting ready to dip off the Cosby Show?
No, when she dipped off the Cosby Show.
What's the name? She got with Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Lenny Kravitz did one of the best hawk jobs of all time with that one. He was watching TV and said, I gotta have it.
Gotta have it.
I gotta have it. I'm hawking down for that one. That's me. I'm on that one all day.
He's gonna be on this nice rock star ish.
Yeah.
Be like, yo, I'm gonna pull her.
He might have been a low key apex predator back in the day.
You think so?
We'll touch on that in a few. We'll touch on that apex predator. I wanna get top five apex predators down though before we get done
Jermaine
with this
Jackson.
Show. Okay, well, we'll get there.
I mean, you already got my list, so but go ahead.
Any other takeaways from the list? We're gonna be doing the next list in a couple of months. Here, we're gonna get together.
We still gonna do because Raven's mad at us. She said we need to let them do the man bracket.
Yeah,
to be fair.
You count me out on that one.
Yeah, I'm gonna sit that one out. I'm gonna sit that one all the way out.
I might even figure out a videotape that one. Have a room of maybe five, six women.
We can bring together the sub crew for that and have them do it.
Yeah,
that'll be a way.
Let them hash it out. They can maybe help them just like how to seed it, you know, things like that. Maybe we'd say you just rank.
But you know what?
We just seeded by the numbers.
We're gonna give them the criteria, and they're gonna do some things that we're not gonna understand because that's supposed to be
it's
the nature.
Be some people, you gonna be like for real? Yeah. Like I ain't even thinking.
But see, I can't seed something like that because it would be like telling me to do the college hockey NCAA brackets. I'd be like, I don't know how I don't know.
Watch my Shamar Moore fuck around and beat it, win the whole thing. In my mind, the Final Four.
Women evaluate things completely different.
Completely different.
Like they looking at different stuff. He's a bad husband. Be like, I don't have nothing to do with
him. Only because he played the bad husband in a movie or something, right?
Yeah, he was in a movie the other day.
Well, I broke up with my boyfriend while he was playing this role, so I think about him. Exactly. And so now I ain't putting him in the brackets.
Absolutely.
You know who got the women? We've had two big women backlash, female backlash. I don't know. I don't even know if I can say female anymore. I'd be getting in trouble. Yeah. But it was about these brackets and who was included in them.
Right.
And then when we did a sequel show to the dude crew, when we broke down a female crew.
Ooh. And we thought female crew would look like.
Yeah, what do you guys think of female? That's interesting.
It's very simple.
You got to get rid of at least people. Four spots in the other joint.
Because women don't really do crews the older you get, right?
No. They really got four.
There's a,
and they kind of roll like the Sith a little bit. Do
somebody
like,
got to go if the other
in
one come
Wars,
in.
Star Wars, like the Sith, they only have four.
Right.
So if we got an extra person, somebody else got to go.
We can only
do four.
Or women are kind of funny, though. Like the cute girls only hang out with the cute girls sometimes, though, right?
And I have a theory that girls that are cute that hang with ugly girls have low self-esteem on top of that, because if you're just bad, you're going to want to rock with somebody else that's bad. It's like going to hoop with cats with the rec.
Right.
And you played in college, and you'd be like,
right.
I mean, I'm balling out, dropping 40.
Right.
You're playing in the rec league in the neighborhood rec league.
Absolutely.
You played at Villanova for 4 years. You're supposed to be doing
absolutely.
It.
Right.
I don't give a care if you're 50 years old. You're supposed to be giving it buckets.
I think women look at crews completely different.
Mm-hmm.
It's what kind of bag they're carrying, what kind of lifestyle they have, different things. Are they cute? Do their hair look good? Different
but
things like
women
that.
Women being full crews where one half of the crew don't like the other half of the crew.
Absolutely.
And that's
absolutely.
A non-starter in
that's
a dude crew.
Or they had them little small civil wars.
Yeah.
Where like one part of the crew, like they split off with one girl.
Yeah.
And then the other side. And then it's like one or two in the middle that's like, well, I can't even invite them.
Yeah.
They mad at them.
But then you got same people in that same crew that's like, well, I'm bringing her out because she needs somebody to go out with. But I'm still going out with my girls. And they like, we don't like that bitch.
Right.
You'd be like, damn, y'all got a lot of complicated things going on. I'm going to go out with all of my dudes, and I'm cool with everybody in the crew.
Absolutely.
Theirs is like,
we caught a lot of flack for our interpretation of the
female
crew.
Yeah, I think we might catch some on this one. Hey, I'm not trying to say they're shallow or anything. I'm just saying it's a different dynamics in it. I'm telling you,
it's a different thing.
And women crew changes even as they get older. Probably old, like married women don't want to hang out with other married
absolutely.
Women.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Be hanging out with no single friends.
Absolutely,
like that.
Absolutely. And that's one thing about the older crew too, though. I don't know if the wives really want guys hanging out with the single brothers. Single guys.
And have you had friends in your crew that got divorced? Do they get excommunicated from the married crew thing? Like, does your wife, the wives don't want him coming around with the new chicks because he back out popping. He back out in the streets, but he's still trying to do the couples thing.
Right.
But he bringing a new one around every time.
Boy, oh boy. Do I got stories for that one? Yeah, that's a whole different deal. Like, because, look, if one of your homeboys get divorced, you automatically at home, somebody, you feel like the heat then got turned up in the house or something. Like, you hang with them? Like, what you mean? I'm just out here. What you talking about?
You could have done something about this. Like, what you doing? You'd be like, don't hand it to me.
That's always tough within your crew if one of your boys get a divorce or going through something. That's always tough, man. Always.
Is he excommunicated unofficially? Like, you gotta hang out with him on like the low. Like, you gotta creep with him. Like he's like you cheating on your wife with your boy going out. Like, nah, I went with Craig.
I'm not that far. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna give my man time to make it final. Hey, brother, either it's gonna be final or if it's happened, then obviously I gotta bring him around the fold or something. If he's my boy, I'm gonna roll with him regardless.
Yeah,
I know
absolutely.
That's a tough situation, man, to go through. And sometimes he needs support of the crew, man. So I'm gonna support him no matter what. But I'm going to give them time to work it out, though, for the most part.
Yeah, the wife be like,
it depends on how bad that ended, too, and if she cool with the other wife, too, because that changes the dynamics a little bit, too. Like, he did Sheila bad. Like, I'm like,
oh, he said he did Sheila bad.
But see, but then also at the same time, they can't introduce the new dynamic while that old one's still lingering. You know, you might have moved on to another thing, but it's kind of like you can't be debuting your new joint if
that's
we ain't
true.
Resolved that old thing.
Absolutely.
Back in my former life, I used to, one of my homeboys' wives used to hate me And I know, and I could tell she did, because when I always come to visit them, I always have a new piece with me. And it was just like, she would just look at me, and I'd be like, it's all good, man.
Right.
And I was like, she don't like me, though, do she? Like, nah.
Yeah, you could tell. You could just tell.
Yeah, you could tell, like, oh, it's another one, huh, D? It's another one.
Like, my wife would say, like, who is he bringing this time? Like, I'm like,
I don't know. I don't know.
It's just a double date.
I'm not hanging with
him. Just going
you won't let me hang with him. I don't know.
We're just going to dinner. That's all. We're not. You don't have to commit to the girl. We're just going to dinner.
Get her phone number.
Yeah, exactly. Y'all ain't got to be girlfriends initially. Just dinner.
Hey, I'm glad you said that, because this is based on a true story of my recent life. It was I don't know her name yet, and I'm not quite sure if I should remember it yet, because we don't know if I need to remember
it
yet.
She's gonna be around.
And I was like, whoa, that's a lot of shade you just threw in like one sentence right there. I was like, she's still a human being. But I mean, it's like, she's still a person.
Hey, yo, it's funny you say that, because last night I had this conversation with my wife. Man, he brought her around for two dates. He must really like her.
I had the same conversation about the same thing. We live in the same life.
We might be living the same life.
In different zip codes.
Absolutely.
100% true. So let's describe the apex predator, because this is
all right. Let's move into the. Let's get into this. Do we need to recap the situation or just update the developments?
Well, I mean,
we've had
our listeners know. But we need to update them on the.
Yeah,
new
we need to bring it forward right here. Do we got another mic? We got another guest. Like we said, this is OG hour. We got another level of OG. It's kind of about to be like the Jackie Robinson moment for this show, too. Because hold up, is that joint working again? Okay, good. I ain't want him to give you the joint where it's like you're not here, but you kind of still here.
And he's an OG too, man.
Yes,
he's 42.
Absolutely.
44.
Absolutely.
44? What are you eating? Okay. But no, he's an OG too.
So the apex predator situation is pretty simple. Let's just break it down to like a real life brass tacks of what an apex predator is. Apex predator is at the top of the food chain. Everything answers to him. Now, there's a lot of people out in this world that's going out into everyday life with an apex predator mentality. Like, they're going out here like, yo, if I see it, it's me. I'm not worried about anything else. It's me. I'm going to do what it takes to make it me. Sometimes you have them advanced apex predators, though, where they can put together elaborate schemes in order to find their prey and they do what they got to do. Now, that's what, and as I said that, Alex Rodriguez popped up on TV.
Wow.
Absolutely an apex predator. But but in the meantime, in the world of the NBA, some people preview you on some shows about who they think is going to win the finals, who's going to win awards, who's going to lead the league in scoring. We're not concerned with any of that shit around here. What we're going to do is tell you about who's leading the standings in the apex predator world in the NBA right now. And without a doubt, it's Jimmy Butler. Currently of the Minnesota Timberwolves, he might not be by the time this show drops, even if the show comes out in the next 15 minutes. But right now he's there, and he's trying to leverage a trade now to the Miami Heat, which falls right into the pocket of Daryl's scheme and thinking that Jimmy Butler is here for the action. The action being Gabrielle Union. So let's go back down. Daryl's doing tech support in the middle of the show right now. I want for him to walk his way back down into this situation here. Do we need to test levels? We don't test levels like during the show? We good? All right. So before we go down the path of the apex predator, we want to introduce my guy Eon to the show. We're about to have a great moment. We're about to finally have a breakthrough racially on the show.
Is this a first?
This is a big moment. I am now no longer the lightest skinned person to do the show. I feel liberated. I feel like I've been moved up a little bit now in the world. What are you looking for? You lost your microphone? Oh. So, E, what's up, man? You coming fresh out the golf course, dog?
No, I was golf course for Jerry Van Der Zandt at work. I made like 206-year-olds.
Okay.
Vino life, dog.
Absolutely.
You haven't been here since I signed my 20-year contract with Vino, but I'm going Vino exclusive for the next 20 years, except for when you leave Tiny Open after hours. But even sake is wine from a certain perspective.
I'm sorry. Is it gone?
Okay, good. That we can call it whatever we do so I can keep drinking it.
And E, I got to give you a shout out because tonight we were sipping on Bootleg, that Vina. Oh, it's awesome, man. Great choice, too. Absolutely. 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 Not yet. Not yet.
Hold on. We got a Prisoner, a Bootleg, and a Fortress? I like how we're drinking wines that make it sound like you're turning way up when you're doing it. And we got a port. We got a port from yesterday out at the Mount Pleasant. So, yeah.
All right, so.
Wine time. But anyway, Apex Predator. We a different type of cat. This is your older crew when you start talking about your varieties of wines
We break down the NBA a little bit different.
Apex Predators. But, yeah, we approach the NBA differently on this show.
We do, like, who's most likely going to get fight the first game.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. Because if I do regular analysis, you're going to get that somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give you the real nitty gritty, like, who going to get traded before? How long is it before LeBron and his whole crew get traded?
Right.
Absolutely.
Who had a star breakout last year that's not going to be as good this year because his profile went up, so now he's going to have less legs?
Oh, absolutely.
I nominate Lou Williams for that for this year.
Well, no, Lou Williams is in a lexicon of all-star. He's an all-star.
Oh, that's true. He is already in the tree of woe.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You can't say nothing bad about no Lou Williams. He had two women for 2 years.
Absolutely.
And
was balling.
And balling. Like, it was hooping.
And,
like,
and they knew it.
Yeah, and he had to break up with the one because it was getting too stressful.
Mm.
She ain't even leave. She was still crying mad and stuff. They said, like, I want to come back home.
I mean, if you're in a relationship with two women and you're the one that doesn't get chosen, I mean, most of the people we know do that and you don't aware of it. But when you choose it publicly in front of her like she's on the fucking Survivor, that's a whole different thing than when it happens that way. But anyway, the Apex Predator alert right now for Jimmy Butler is at an all-time high. Since the last time we did this show, Jimmy Butler has now, the relationship with him perhaps moving to Miami is a whole nother thing, which presents a huge problem because we said from the beginning that Gabrielle Union
is his main prize he's going after. Also, keep in mind, he supposedly took Towns' girlfriend. That's why the whole team is all messed up.
Wow.
Now, I'll ask you this because you would understand this better than anybody else. The rumor has always been that the two things that cause rifts in the locker room are either cards or women.
You're right. You're right. It's either money or women.
One or the other.
One or the other.
Now, is it money, like contract money, or is it just how you using your money out here?
From last night
yes, is
club.
It money that somebody owes somebody, or is it you signed for this?
No. See, that's just bitterness when somebody signed for more money. You don't think they worth it.
You just hating.
You ain't going to fight nobody for that. But if somebody owe you some money from a card game in locker rooms, that can go up to tens and thousands of dollars.
So, I mean, like cats are playing cards like that all the time?
Yes. $30,000-$40,000 is light.
So that Gilbert Arenas, the DeVaris Crittenden thing was like some real.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We used to, the gambling on the plane is a serious thing, man. That's just what guys do.
Ooh.
And some feelings are hurting. It's been a couple scuffles behind some money, man.
And that was real bad because the Cash App is popping.
Yeah,
so you can't even have no excuses.
You're right. So back in the day, it was like we were playing with IOUs. Now it's like, no, just Cash App me that, and then we're good. And if that Cash App don't come through, it's a problem.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
Ooh, so let's just hypothetically say you flying from St. Louis to Seattle in 2018.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of time to get it in on the plane.
Absolutely.
And to also have those networking conversations about what's going on the scene where that Apex Predator mindset could set in like, oh, I didn't know my mans was getting at her. That was on my list, and I'm the Apex Predator, so I'm on that.
Let me say this. Guys in the locker room, and in college is at all-time worst, right?
Because really?
Guys are competitive, right?
Yeah. No, okay.
If somebody's messing with a bad girl or something, everybody wants to, you know,
try to holler at
her. Is it because the population's lower then? Or
it's just competitive, man. Everybody, okay. Especially if you think you're hot, right? If you think you're the guy on the team, now in the league, that's a whole other story, man, because people got wives, and serious, got family.
You might get killed.
You might get killed or something, man. But it's so competitive on and off the field. Everybody want the hottest cars. Everybody want the baddest women. Everybody want all these different things. So guys, like you said, that predator, guys, they're gonna shoot their shot. And if she biting, you know, it might work.
So I feel like this is the type of thing that's taking the knees out of a lot of potential championship-level teams over the years across all sports.
Oh, yeah,
like mad talent, chemistry messed up because of cards and money.
Right. When you see a guy, you'd be like, why did he put in a trade request? Something happened. Something happened.
Mm.
You know what I mean? We're like, dude, they just won the championship. Like, why you want to leave? Dog, it's something. It's something going on. Either like you say, either some money, cars, or
have you
or
seen
something.
Both of them be the issue? Like, you owe me money, and you took my girl.
Oh, that sounds like the walk in the plank right there.
That's what I'm saying.
And I'm gonna tell you where the game's messed up now, though. Right? Social media has completely messed the game up. Because you can hit somebody's girl.
And don't know, though.
On the low.
Oh, because you and you can. You
just
don't
on
even
the
know.
Low, like shoot her a DM, you know, or something.
And then, boom, hey, meet me in Seattle
on the low. Yeah, yeah.
And before, you'd have to catch her out, and then he might be with her.
Right, yeah.
And then you got to go through that. I got to call her on
now,
the phone.
Now you jump on the social media page or whatever, and then you in. If she respond, you in. If she don't respond, you keep moving.
Ooh,
right?
But that also goes back to the overarching rule of life. Rule number one, let her choose. If she chooses up. You can't say nothing about that. You can't get mad at her.
No. You can't get mad. I will say that.
You can't be showing up.
If a brother on your team try to get at your girl, right? Mm-hmm. Now, it's a different if she approach him, right?
That's what I mean for rule number one.
Okay.
If she initiate.
But would you do it? I still wouldn't do it, though.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm different, right? I wouldn't do it.
Does he owe me money from spades or not?
How much does he owe me?
Is it 20 grand or 30 grand?
Played on the planes.
So we used to play like in between. I don't know if you've ever played in between.
I've heard of the game. I've never played.
So, you know, obviously you'll flip over two cards. The third card, you can bet whatever's in the pot that the next card is in between those two cards, right? But Blu-ray was another big one that we played. I used to play Tonka a ton.
I know Tonka.
Tonka's big. So, yeah, you play and shoot dice, right? You shoot craps.
So you shoot dice on the plane?
Not in a hotel though.
We play with turbulence. It's part of the game.
It's part of the game.
And Dick Vermeil, the king of craps, he hitting them off the back wall, back bathroom. Dick Vermeil cleaning up, taking home everybody bread.
Joe's everything.
But yeah, so. That Apex Predator life got layers to it, man. You on the team with, you know what? I mean, I might be less likely to sign with a team if one of the foremost Apex Predators in the league is on
Wade
that squad.
But Wade wants him closer. You keep your enemies closer.
Yes.
Let me ask you this, though, Matt. You're saying, you're saying if the girl approaches you, she's fair game.
Yes, absolutely in play.
How about you?
Yes.
100%. She's in play. This is your teammate.
Yeah.
She approaches you, she's in play.
Now, back to what you said.
Is this my boy? Like, y'all, we roll?
Huh?
We roll?
Y'all like, teammates. Like,
I mean,
does the kicker count?
No, kicker, yes, he's teammate.
Okay, cool. So, but here's the thing. All I'm saying is if she approaches, it's in play to entertain it. You can't be going out of your way to be elaborate and facilitate it if it ain't in her mind.
If she hits you in the DM and say, yo, what's up? What do you do? What's the next move?
I mean, in them contexts, I probably would decline. Because most of the time, if I'm cool with somebody and we work together, I'm probably not. But if you go to another team...
Okay, so let me ask you this, though. Let's say you in your walk year, your deal.
Right.
Let's just say you're not happy with the situation you're getting right now.
Right.
Let's say you're Le'Veon Bell. And let's say you in a situation that looks good to everybody outside. Not saying this is Le'Veon's situation. I'm just saying if you're in the same place he's in. And you're like, all right, she hollering at me. I know I'm not coming back. But you don't make it public. You hollering at her until you playing – For the Raiders.
Right. Let me tell y'all this.
That seems more snake-like to me.
This is real talk for me, and this is the difference between old school cats and, like, new school cats. I wouldn't do it.
Is it because Marvin Harrison's not in the league anymore?
It's a certain type of loyalty and respect, though, right? It's a lot of women in the world, but I wouldn't do it personally. I wouldn't. I'd be like, nah, you mess with my man. Right.
Do you think that there's some cities, though, where cats have less of a talent pool where they make more risk than they would in some other towns?
Bro.
Miami, L.A.
Miami. But I don't. So you guys would take her on, right? Would she be your girl?
No. If he went to the Denver Broncos after that or whatever.
I'm just saying I'm not as much in the wrong if she jumps in my DMs as if I'm in her DMs throwing passes downfield to her nonstop.
Really?
I can at least be like, yo, I can show you this message. And get free, like, yo, you might want to check your girl. As opposed to me being like, she being like, but I hollered at him, but he was messaging me for 10 months beforehand.
Would you be a pawn in the game? What if she was just trying to get some get back?
Right, that's true, too.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, probably not, unless she was on the brackets.
Yeah.
The brackets. Hey, dude, I'm going to say this right now. Y'all some savages, man.
Look, and this is.
I'm at least number seven savage in all situations.
I thought we were refined and everything. This is more refined.
So you saying you and Matt are on the Lakers, right?
Right. But is Matt my boy already?
Y'all teammates.
We went to college together.
Yeah. That's my boy.
Y'all just won the championship last year, right? Y'all popping bottle champagne.
Did I go to Duke and he went to North Carolina, though? No, I'm saying all these different levels.
I went to Michigan. You went to Ohio State. I went to Iowa.
Oh, no. I'm going to get his girl early. Early. I'm talking about early.
We fighting in training camp.
Early. I'm looking at the roster of new people coming in, like, looking for anybody from Iowa on there, like.
So in real life, though, let's take it out the locker room. In real life, does that happen? If somebody you work with.
No, I can't do that.
Why is that different?
Because he might not.
Because I can't just leave my job as easily as if I'm in the league.
But the league is a job too, though, right?
That's fair. All I'm saying is that I'm not jumping down on other people's chicks. I'm just saying if she jumps in the message, you shouldn't feel the same weight as if you've been shooting J's or her nonstop.
Woo, okay. All right, brother. I guess it's all fair game and love.
Savagery.
Boy.
Hey, let's. We
top
brought
top five apex predators.
Top five apex predators time. All right.
Jermaine Jackson's number one.
Okay. What's yours? Give me your five.
Jermaine Jackson's number one. Number two is I'm slipping my mind now.
We can work through. We can workshop it.
My boy that did he took Sam Cooke's wife and had his fur coat on at his funeral. Homeboy that did it, If You Think You're Lonely Now. What's it? I can't remember his name now. Yeah. And he did Across 110th Street. And he's even more savage because he ended up having sex with his step with Sam Cooke's daughter, and he had his wife.
That's savagery at his best, man.
Bobby Womack
was so the story goes, so when Sam Cooke died. He was with Sam Cooke's wife at his funeral with his fur coat on in the front row.
Oh, he might be number one. How did he slip down to number two?
That's because Jermaine. Because
he's not letting Jermaine Jackson off the hook.
I can't let Jermaine off the hook. But Bobby Womack then has proceeded to have sex and almost marry he ended up marrying Sam Cooke's wife and then end up cheating on her with her daughter.
For a cold game.
Yeah,
cold
Sam Cooke. Sam Cooke was a motherfucker. Not Sam Cooke. Bobby Womack was a motherfucking boy.
Tough, man.
Bobby Womack is definitely up there. Another person is, man, actually, Bobby Womack's brother was on there too, though.
Wow, like the
other Womack was too like that.
Yeah, that's just the way they.
David Ruffin is up there in it. The whole story. He had in the front row with Dean Martin's daughter in the front row. Slobbing her down. I'm talking about why Dean Martin performing. He was on some like I'm freaking on your in the front row. Dean Martin is performing in Vegas. They're in Vegas, and Ruffin is like slobbing down his daughter in front row and everything. Them Italian boys made that holler though at him.
Yeah, he was never seen
ever again with Dean Martin's daughter.
Hey, let me. I got my number
he was
one.
Never seen again with Dean Martin's daughter.
My number one apex predator of all time is R. Kelly. I don't even see how it's up with.
Oh,
that
absolutely.
Yeah. Like.
I was saying to people that was in the big leagues though. Like everybody's an adult though, at least in the leagues.
Oh, you didn't want to.
Oh, you didn't want to move over.
Ultimate predator.
Yeah,
there's an age limit to this thing, right?
I just wanted to take 18.
Oh, so we wasn't trying to do like who's the worst people ever, like Hitler,
right,
R. Kelly,
that's
Magneto, like stuff like that.
Hold on, fellas. Allegedly.
Oh, allegedly.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, we do have to go by check.
She could have been 18.
That's Radio 101. I always
probably
say allegedly,
not,
first
probably
and foremost.
Not,
I'm sorry. I forgot about that.
Probably not, though.
But even though they said there is a statute, if you're talking about somebody in public note, you don't have – allegedly doesn't have to be said.
Her parents came out and said – they made a statement, didn't they?
So I'm going to do mine real quick because there's another topic that we got to touch on and connected to this. I'm going to do R. Kelly. I'm going to do Kobe Bryant.
Ooh, hold on, rewind the tape. Kobe Bryant.
I'm going to do Hank Basket.
Ooh.
I mean, that brother jumped across the lines of sexes with his. Like, that's a whole nother struggle right there.
What happened with him?
Hank Basket was cheating on Kendra Wilkinson,
right?
the Playboy chick, with a transgender model.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah.
That's the struggle bus.
Why Kobe, though?
I mean, because Kobe was out in the Mile High City acting a fool. At the very top of his powers. He was taking advantage of his powers in an abusatory way.
How about Bill Cosby, Predator?
I think he's, I mean, he might be. Yeah.
We might have to slide him on up to number
one. Bill Cosby
I want to go and take Jermaine. Jermaine ain't been that trifling.
Bill Cosby might be, he might be a scourge. Like a pandemic.
Morgan Freeman, I don't know. Morgan Freeman just on some player shit, baby.
Younger, newer model?
That, like, I'm just going to get me some young.
Or not R. Kelly. Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman said, I don't care if it's related to me or not, though.
No, it's not. It's my step.
That's gutter.
That's savagery, man. That's so, savage.
Giving a quote from Bobby Womack. This is what he said about why he was with Sam Cooke's wife. He initially went to Barbara's side to console her following her Cooke's death. He said if she would have been alone by herself, she was going to do something crazy. Then in 1970, they got divorced after he had sex with her 19-year-old stepdaughter, Linda.
Wow.
Or his 19-year-old stepdaughter.
Wow. Go ahead, Matt. Finish your list.
I'm trying to just make sure I'm accounting for everything here, anything I possibly can. I don't want to dip into, like, the truly, like, gutter, like, R&B files because, I mean, you start getting into musicians. I mean, Bobby Womack got to be the king of that.
The king of that,
he
got to
be the king of that. I think Tom Brady's an underrated predator.
Ooh,
personally.
Hold on.
Personally.
All right, so I
got
to ask this question. You got Kobe up there.
Yes. What about Ben? I tossed Ben out real quick. I think that the flow after I said Kobe, the reaction covered Ben up. But I said Ben because we chronicled Ben last week on the show about how he was trying to get some side action off of Trump. Like he took Stormy Daniels back to the room.
He wanted Trump to say.
Trump said walk her to her room.
Yeah, walk her to the room. Like he was just doing like the low key set out, and then she was like, "No, I'm not with it." And he was like, "I won't even tell Donald. He don't have to know." And then she said she went back in the room, left him outside, and he was outside the door like, "Come on, please."
He was begging for it.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
Where does Trump fit up? He got to be sad. He got to be a
I mean, he stole the presidency. So, I mean, that's predatorship on a whole nother level right there. I mean, I guess Bush got to be in there, too, if we talk about that.
What about Bill Clinton?
I think that if you break it down to presidential levels, our top three presidential predators of all time are JFK, Clinton, and Trump.
What about Kennedy? Kennedy?
Yeah. Shout out to his brother, too, because his brother be involved, too. Robert was on that shit,
Kennedy.
Too.
Kennedy was running them through the White House in a way that people had never seen before. They brought back, they built exits on the White House for Kennedy's transitions. Like, there's like one of them documentaries that'd be on Netflix about John Kennedy's secret trap doors in the White House. Like, he had like tunnels from like across town to bring them in. John Kennedy wasn't playing. So, I mean, I don't know. Jimmy Butler's not ready for that level.
No, he's not on that level. Not yet. Now, he goes to Miami, it might be a different story, though.
Oh, I mean, he's got his eyes locked on the prize. So, I mean, we're going
to
see how
if you're Dwayne Wade, do you say something to him about it?
He already did.
What Dwayne
said?
He
went on him. He was like, ain't nobody saying no all damn.
Oh, wait. Oh, didn't know about that. So, recap that. Yeah. Recap that.
So, he got in the picture. He's like, well, damn.
All right. So, hold up.
It was all caps.
I got to pull the picture. Damn. I got to pull the picture.
And then, did he put up Jimmy Butler's picture on Instagram and said something about him? And then Jimmy Butler was like, basically, like, put up something like, hey, man, if your hoe choose me.
Like, nah, Jimmy Butler said that?
Like, no, he was like, you know, if your woman chose somebody else, it's all good.
Wow.
I'm like, Jimmy.
I don't think Dwayne okayed that trade.
I think he want to keep an enemy closer. Because if he go to L.A., daddy be in L.A. with the Clippers, he can't keep his tabs on him. If he keep him in Miami, I keep tabs on him. I know where he at.
So,
I know where you keep your enemies closer. I got to bring him in Miami because she going to be in L.A. Because he wanted to play. He said L.A. and New York. I was like, those two cities that she want to be in for working, wise.
Well, damn.
He's seen the picture now.
Yeah. He said, well, damn.
But see, also, so the difference the way you just said it, you said, well, damn. He did it full caps. Well,
full
damn.
Caps in front of so everybody can see.
Oh, everybody was clicking like on and laugh. You know, this is on Instagram.
So you make a comment about your man's girl and you get 20,000 likes on Instagram. Yeah. The comment get 20,000.
Just as many likes as the picture did. Jimmy Butler's comment.
Me and Jimmy got to have a conversation.
But now he want to be traded to your team. Hey, this ain't just any team. You the Miami Heat legend.
Hey, well, look, Dwayne understands we got the same schedule. If he with the Heat, we got the same schedule, brother. When we got a away game, we all out.
Exactly. So I know where you at all times.
At all times.
So he just and then he retiring after this year, so then he can really lock the schedule.
Right.
Down.
So he want him to lock it. He like go give him a max deal, keep him down there. So when he leave,
if I was Jimmy Butler right now, I mean, he's already said I'll take a trade to the Nets, to the Knicks, and to the Clippers. Clearly, you're not about that winning. I would just add the Magic to the list, so I'm a little closer.
You see those cities that Gabby work in, L.A. and New York.
I mean,
that's why he don't want him down. Maybe like
I will say this though. If Wade got it, on, I mean he ain't really got nothing to worry about, right? He got it on lock. I mean, Gabby.
I mean, if she'll get gutted to get you, she'll get gutted to leave you.
Look, but now keep in mind though, she also does have a baby though with Damon Wayans' baby mama, Damon Wayans Jr. baby mama.
Like an active one.
Yeah, that's who. When he said, remember they had a break for a week, and he got that girl pregnant.
Who, D. Wade?
D. Wade. Yeah. On
yo, this might be the most predatory backcourt in the history of the NBA. Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler. Hey,
bro,
it's
a lot goes on.
How you get
league,
a week
bro.
Off and knock a chick up?
Have you seen? I mean, I know you. Do you think it's worse now with like cats doing all this type of stuff, or it was like that thing that we just didn't know about? You just didn't know about.
You're not getting the type of pub. I think guys have always been that way. Teammates, competitive, doing different stuff, man. That's just.
I think you saw that. I think you saw the eyes of the killer when he was in the backcourt with him.
Was there apex predator? You know, like, hey man, my wife ain't hanging out with. If he coming out, my wife ain't coming out because he an apex predator.
No, so at certain really, you're married too. So mm-hmm. at certain times, you know, all right, cool. Like you know who you can trust and can't trust.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. This dude can't just be at my house. You know, right?
Yeah, you gotta. You only can beat up when I'm there. Like you can't.
You know the makeup of some of the cats you might. And I don't even roll with cats like that, but you know the makeup of some dudes like that. We like, okay, yeah, he might try to go.
Yeah, man. Now you go. Let's wait for me in the driveway. Yeah, I'll be home in a second.
Yeah.
You don't even knock on the door.
You be thinking yourself like, don't be hugging my wife, man. Don't hug my wife, bro.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, after the way that Brooks Koepka's wife was looking at him after he won that title, I wouldn't feel safe around Tiger at all.
No. Tiger Woods. Tiger got to be up there. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Tiger might
but
not Tiger be. Tiger
wanted to get your girl, though. He just wanted any girl.
Yeah, there's nobody.
He wanted at the Waffle House.
There's nobody in this room right now who's dating or married to anything that Tiger wants.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tiger would look at any of our wives or women and be like, "No, I'm good."
You can see how lazy Tiger was with his cheating, though. He would hire somebody that the places that he would frequently just go.
Right.
Like you just go to the Waffle House every Monday for your breakfast.
Yeah.
Damn, man, I might as well go and pop at her though, so I can go ahead and give me some trim though when she get off.
Hey, when he got caught for that DUI that time, he was somewhere trying to be a predator, man. Where are you going at four? Where are you going at 4 a.m, man? Or was he really? Oh, man.
But he was at his restaurant, though, which means they got servers, which means the Tiger probably hiring that prime cut out of Chili's and Chevy's.
Hey, look, my only issue with Tiger, I need him to have a stronger team, though. He needs a stronger team around. He shouldn't be driving late night.
I don't even know how that's even possible. That
he only got one phone?
Well, he learned about the phone situation.
Yeah. Right. Right. That's my only issue with Tiger. He needs a stronger team.
I mean, but
team.
When Charles Oakley was on Bill Simmons' podcast, he said the Tiger kind of didn't soak up all the game. Like, how you hanging out with Mike and Charles Oakley, but you don't know how to put a crew together? We literally broke down how to put a crew together.
Is he on a yacht by himself, bro?
But
big
you got
to
think, though, Tiger ain't got no real friends, though. You got to think he was a super prodigy. His daddy had him out there golfing 30 hours a week like he got a real job. He wasn't hanging out with no real people.
Hey, you know what's great about Tiger? This conversation, I mean, he probably, what was it, 10 years now? He probably since he got caught up. Mm-hmm. And we're still talking about, like, dude, how in the world did he get caught up like
dude, it was us.
This is Tiger.
Yo.
Does she know who you are?
Yo, you.
Like, Tiger, here's my thing. If you're on a first name basis with society, you don't need to say your name. Exactly. I guarantee you, Prince never picked up the phone. Hello, this is Prince.
No, yeah. Prince would do what they said, though.
What?
Prince would do that because he's got an ego, though, like that.
Well, then Tiger do too. But Tiger was doing it because he wasn't sure if she knew who it was.
Hey, look.
You know what? This is how I know not to trust Tiger, because if he was doing it on his own phone, that means he never watched The Wire. The Wire told you how to get rid of them phones right away.
Nothing else. Tiger, send a text. Nobody say, who does a voicemail anymore? Send a text, bro.
Actually, you don't even do that. Send a pigeon. Yeah. Like, send a pigeon with a little note on the leg.
Game of Thrones?
It's easy to get caught up. Like, dude, you need to send a pigeon or something. Or look, if I don't talk to you face to face.
Tiger need to hang out with LeBron. LeBron been on top of the world, living the right life.
Yeah, he's a good guy, living the right life. Man.
He's figured it out.
He said he's living the right life.
He's been on top of the game for all these years and ain't gotten any trouble. That's how you do it, man.
Yeah, he is. He does. He has a strong team around him.
He got a great team. Yeah. He got so many blockers.
He's got the secret service.
He got six big O's, though, just in his circle. Like, but nobody can get through. Ain't nobody going to get through this.
No,
you got to get through Maverick. Then you got to get through, what's the other agent dude that he got?
Rich Paul.
Yeah. That's to get to him.
Like, I mean, LeBron's straight up drinking wine in the barbershop. Like, he's leveled up. He's got, two Mario stars at once.
Hey, speaking of crews, he might have the ultimate crew, though, right?
That's true.
Dude, and he's the ultimate homeboy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dude,
absolutely.
You brought all your people that you mess with.
Absolutely.
Made them get jobs at like certain places that they wanted you to be there, but they can learn this shit.
Right. So LeBron Absolutely. James is
Dude,
the best.
The
he's the best. He's the best friend of all time.
Like you said, it's the superstar that doesn't really act like the superstar, though, right?
Yep.
Everybody understands their role.
So who is Maverick then? Maverick the
utility man.
Yeah.
Utility man.
He's a utility.
All
and
day.
The negotiator is
Rich Paul.
Yeah.
So they got. We just don't know the homeboy. It's the henchman.
Yeah. Hey. You will see, like, when he was in Cleveland, you could see if, like, somebody fouled him hard. Like, it was a couple of dudes ready to run on the court if there was a fight happening.
Wasn't it Damon Jones?
Might be a henchman right now, too. Though.
I think his henchman Kendrick Perkins. He legit got him a contract to wear a suit.
Yeah. You know, Damon Jones might be the dude that's just happy to be in the crew now.
Yes,
know?
Damon Jones is definitely happy to be here.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, dude, LeBron's straight getting his homeboys $3 to $5 million a year.
The question
play
is,
basketball.
Is Damon Jones still coaching in Cleveland, or since LeBron's gone, is he out too? That's a good question.
I haven't
right?
took a look at that Lakers staff. I guarantee you LeBron brought a coach with him.
No question about it.
Cleveland Cavaliers, Tristan Thompson said
let's hit that.
Conference right now.
You got to go through Cleveland. Is that what he said? You got to go through Cleveland?
And then immediately on Instagram, Ben Simmons started laughing at him in his mentions.
See, that's the thing that's kind of messed up on social media now. Like, yo, like, I'm literally going to just come out and challenge you. You said something on SportsCenter.
Joel Embiid.
Back in the day, you probably had to send him a fax or something, though, like, hey, man. Yeah.
or you can say something. Or you can say something to your local guy, your local news guy, and then back in the day, you just say it, and it just stays in the area and locally. Yeah. Now it's
– Like, here's my thing, though, that I wonder. You talk about, like, how the modern sports is and stuff like that. When these cats is going at each other on social media, what do they do, like, when they see each other at the game and they be dapping each other up?
Is it beef on site?
It's not beef on site, right? I think it's all
– Is it all gamesmanship, or are they taking it personal?
It's all gamesmanship. Okay. So I do think Tristan and Draymond don't like each other.
Oh, Draymond.
I think that might be personal.
I don't be around motherfuckers like you or something. What he said,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We've come from different cloth.
That's the thing. That's the thing about sports now, though. With the AAU circle, everybody like each other too much.
That's
right. Look, if Durant and Golden State beat me and I'm LeBron, look, bro, I don't want to talk to you. We ain't riding. We ain't doing no commercials. We ain't doing nothing together.
No. Was there anybody that when you played that like after the game or before the game you would see on the other side of the field and it'd be love, or was it just
bro? I'm telling
put
you
up?
This right now. This is the funniest thing in the world, right? I'm retired. I've been out the game for 8 years. There's dudes I play with now. I mean, that I used to play against. I can see them in this room right now, and it's an awkward silence.
Oh, it's still beef on site?
It's like, dude, I don't really, because I took everything like personal, like dude, because you know. Like, I don't really mess with that dude. I ain't really, you know. But I see a couple of DNs. It'll eventually be cool. But initially, it'd be like, dude, I don't really mess with that dude.
Terrell sucks.
I ain't playing against Terrell, though. But yeah. So
I got to see him.
Like, oh, yeah, it's one of them dudes. It's like, but I'm sure he probably feel the same way. That DN probably feel like, dang, I remember that game. You know, whoever. Yeah, all that. Yeah, something like that. And it's a little eerie feeling, man. It's weird. It's an awkward silence, though. So, yeah.
So, I mean, what's it like when you play against, like, you was talking about earlier about how you had your crew, but, like, in your line of work, you had your crew. You end up, like, straight banging heads with your crew on the other side of the field. What's it like when you suit up against one of your crew
when you're in the league and y'all all is it's we putting that all out the window.
So it's funny you play a couple Buckeyes, a couple guys that I played with. I'm trying to give you the business, bro.
And we can be trying to win.
And we can be cool afterwards, but in between the lines, it's all business. And I would hope he would try to do the same to me.
Now, when you went number one, and then Sean Springs went number three, same draft. Did you ever get a chance? You got him in your sight lines when you was on the field?
I didn't. But so Sean said some stuff to me, man, back in the day, where Sean thought he was going to be the number one pick, so he was talking trash. And then I remember this. He told me this day. He said one of us is going to be a Hall of Famer, and one of us is going to be a bust.
Whoa!
So it's a good chance of that. So I'm like, all right. So we know how that ended. And he wasn't a bust. Let me tell you, he was a great player.
Yeah,
played for a long
time.
I remember him saying that to me because he was one of them arrogant dudes in college, but they talked a lot of trash though. So.
See, that's why I like that. Hey, that's it. Like your crews will end up. There's times in life where your crews end up bouncing off each other sometimes.
Oh yeah,
that's why I like how that works.
The funny thing is, but when you older, you like, all right, cool. We were just young. We were young back then, and then you get older and everything. Everybody's cool. You know, we back to like shit. We done playing football, man. We still got a lot of the same interests, man, and all that. So
while we touching on football real quick, like there's two things. Like we was talking about this just yesterday, talking about like you know the dynamics of what Le'Veon Bell is going through, you know, as far as the holdout, and now saying news broke today saying he's going to come back in week 7, which is a bye week, stuff like that. Now, you got experience with the tag, you know what I'm saying, with the franchise tag and what his mindset may be on that. Like, I ain't going to ask you, you know, like, what should he do or what, you know, about like that, because every man is their own man about how they go about their money. But, like, how do you navigate a situation like that when you're trying to get more money, but, you know, the team's kind of trying to control your situation like they are?
In the meantime, we have a great debate we haven't been going on for the last 3 weeks about this situation. Okay. So I'm definitely interested.
Well, great. So I don't know if you want to call it fortunate or unfortunate. I call it fortunately. I was tagged 3 times by the Rams. But for me, it was different, right? So I was an offensive lineman. And for me, you know, I can go out and block, you know, I can do whatever, but he's actually getting shot. Like, people are taking hits at him. You know, he run the ball 30 times. You know, you got guys trying to take your head off. So it's totally different from a position standpoint. When I was going through it, for me it was, okay, I understand they're paying me this franchise tag money, and I was betting on myself every year. Like, if you can't bet on yourself, then you might as well not even play the game and have confidence. So I knew if I reached 30, I wasn't going to do it past 30. I wasn't even going to do it to 30, right? Because age, if I get hurt, it just won't balance out. So I knew at some point, you know, if they did it 2 years in a row, I was like, cool, this is perfect. I ain't got to go to training camp. This is awesome, right? It's saving up on my body. And they said, oh, we'll just keep franchising. So I just started doing the math in my head. Okay, you franchised me 2 years. The third year, okay. Oh, yeah, I'm good. This is what I wanted, a signing bonus. And then on the fourth year, y'all still got to pay me. So it kind of worked out. So I was gambling. He's a little different, though, because I'm going to tell you this. I like the income of the NFL. And he's passing up close to $1 million a week. I don't know if I could stomach myself passing up $1 million.
See, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying he's a revolutionary for what he's doing.
Oh, I'm telling you he is, because I'm thinking – all right, let's say you don't come to week 7. You lose $5 million, right? Mm-hmm. That's real money at the end of the day, right? Let's say next year they pay you whatever they want to pay you. You're still out of that $5 million.
Right, and that was my whole thing.
But my thing is that you ain't lost no treads on the tires, though. Like,
but he's still getting a year older. So age is age. A year older is still a year older, in my opinion. And then you kind of lose some, you know, like you said, iron sharpens iron. If you ain't out there playing you might lose some. You might lose some of your game, right? But I'm not knocking him for it. I think what I would do if I was him right now, I would tell him, yeah, I'm coming week 7, but I need you guys to give me the entire $14 million.
For the whole year.
For the whole year. I'll show up next week, but I need you guys to give me the whole – as bad as they're playing right now, they need him.
He could come in there and say that.
Yeah, because their window getting tight. I mean, your window getting tight with your quarterback, you know what I mean? You got to do what you got to do to make the most out of it. I just – do you like the flip? Go ahead.
No, but the problem with him is – when he goes back in that locker room, it's so chaotic because I've never seen this in sports, right? We talked about modern-day guys. Yeah. That means guys never spoke on anybody's money. Mm-hmm. When you got offensive linemen coming out talking about he needs to do this, he needs to do that, why is he here? You don't speak on another man's money, man. That's the only issue I got with it. So when he walked back in that locker room, he got all 5 of his linemen that's pissed off at him.
Like, did that type of thing, like, would it things like that used to happen, but it just didn't surface? Or do you think this is just like a whole new way that people think?
Right. I think it's a whole new way. I think people are just guys might have been bitter, but I didn't care even when I held out. Because at the end of the day, I got to protect myself. And that's what he's doing now. He's protecting himself. They're like, yeah, we know O ain't going to miss out on no money, so he's going to be here week one. Mm-hmm. They knew that about me. But nobody would speak on nobody else's contract because it's the business of the NFL, man.
Because I was saying, like, they don't want Le'Veon Bell to do what he's doing because if he wins with something like this, somebody else is going to be like, oh, that's how we do it?
Right, right,
stay out for
that. Well, I tell you what didn't help his cause, though, is what happened with Earl Thomas yesterday.
Yeah, so when you see Earl Thomas, right, who was holding out a training camp, he had a deal. He already had his contract on the table. But he wanted to renegotiate a new deal. You break your leg, the team doesn't care anything about you. So Le'Veon got to look at that and say, you know, what if I come back and blow my knee out and then I'm missing another, you know, similar to Isaiah Thomas even in basketball, right?
Yeah, that's real.
When he came back and fought back, he was going to be a max player before the hip.
Oh, I would say, correct.
He got Ralph Tresvant.
He got Ralph Tresvant by life.
Yeah.
And he hadn't been the same since. How many million do you think he lost?
30.
More than that.
No, he was going to be a max guy.
He was
going to
be a max. He was going to get 120.
Oh, I was thinking about that. I thought we were talking about the year. I was like, oh, yeah.
He was
going to
get 120. He was going to get a max
deal. Yeah, he was going to see the whole thing. He was going to see that adjusted max because he wasn't going to get that team.
And they
max.
Did him so bad, not to change sports or anything. Did him so bad, he out there, he lost his sister.
Yep.
He out there playing on a bad hip. And then you trade him after the season. When you knew his hip wasn't no good.
Right.
The Cavs are idiots for even picking him up because they knew that the Celtics knew his hip was.
The Cavs traded Kyrie Irving for Colin Sexton.
Yeah,
head up.
That's basically it. That was it.
Colin Sexton better be nice.
That was it.
Nice.
And you know, and the thing about Thomas is he's so small, he needs that explosion from his hip. Anybody can tell you that.
Yeah.
He just hadn't had it since he had that surgery.
Yeah. I mean, he costs his, big money. Like, you can see it. Like, I mean, it's easy to see.
But I always tell guys this, no matter what, sports, NBA, NFL, it's all a business. NBA is a little easier because your money's guaranteed. National Football League, it is not guaranteed. I understand what Le'Veon's doing. I just know, big picture, I hope he doesn't get hurt from week 7 on. I hope he has a really good season from that point on. But if he does, I mean, that's gonna be horrible, man. So
like, from your perspective, why isn't the why wouldn't Le'Veon Bell just hold out and just say bump it? Y'all gonna give me my money or not?
If he
papered up and he cool?
Oh yeah.
Why can't he?
I mean, he can, but you know, obviously, like I said, it's hard to recruit $14 million if he hold out. That's the difference.
Yeah, he's not gonna go out and get that in endorsements.
What girl he get, like 16, 17 a year?
Yeah, something crazy.
So he really, essentially, it's only three more
million. He want girly money.
He want girly, which he should get, right? Yeah.
He at least wants the Saquon, because Saquon got 32 games.
But they're trying to, but what he doesn't realize in holding out, they're trying to trade him. They can't trade him anywhere.
Because he needs to sign. He's going to
he
needs
he has to
sign
it anyway, but teams are like, dude, look how you're handling the situation, right?
Yeah. Like, you think Khalil Mack got handled? You think he leveraged it, just got lucky in the right way to be with a team that was just like, we gonna do it?
Oh no, you know what he got? He got John Gruden's ego, bro.
That's all it is John Gruden's ego. Like, it's
It is John Gruden's ego where they just paid me $100 million. I don't know if he felt like he was getting punked by him or what, but dude, this dude is the best defensive player in the league. How do you let this dude walk for a couple picks?
And you got to – and the Bears give up a couple picks, and then they give up the 160. I mean, it's like, whatever.
The Bears signed him on the flight.
Right. They were like, yo, we'll pay him 160 right now. Let's go. Come on.
Well, it's just about the value. It's going to be – if the Raiders were to turn two second-round picks into Khalil Mack between the two of them, well done.
But the problem is with Gruden, Gruden wants to be the guy, right? Mm-hmm. He wants to be the face of the team. He wants to be all these different things. His ego is too big, and he made it. I mean, that'll go down probably as the
one of them, like them Herschel Walker.
Either the best trade for Chicago or the worst trade for Oakland.
It might be the Ricky Williams trade, sponsored by Master P.
It surpassed that.
Sponsored by Master P. That is what sponsored. Master P had that messed up contract. You run for 100 yards. You can get $10,000.
He had that incentive. Dude, I was like, Dude, that's the worst deal in the history.
I was like, Ricky, now, what are you doing? You was high, right?
That might be the worst contract in the history.
No, it is. That is. It is.
And then on top of that, they had him on like ESPN and Magwell in a wedding dress. Like, dude, what are you doing?
He got a whole contract full of them IOUs y'all was giving out on the plane back in 2000.
Rick, what happened, man? Y'all got to rush for 2000 this week.
To get my money, I got to rush for
somehow, Ricky Williams got a bad record deal to play football.
He's like, well, we can put you on this new Nuno Limit album, though, real quick, and go ahead and get you out there.
We'll put you on an album cover that's coming soon for 2 years.
We call you R-Truth.
Hey, man, before we get out of here, man, it's been a good OG hour we had here so far, but we're not going to get off of the show without talking a little bit about a few of these drinks, What you sipping right now? I know you've been officially sponsored.
I know you've been officially sponsored by the prisoner. Though, we have Keith Harris in here.
He's a solid partner, though.
I've been wanting to have a whole podcast. Let's talk about promotions and parties because we've been up in the game together for a long time.
You guys
could
do that, too, man. Yeah,
but Keith don't want to do it. He don't even want to get on the mic.
He's a silent partner.
You need to get all the questions ahead of time.
Keith is the Rich Paul of the crew.
Your PR person called me up.
No, Keith is a classic. Keith is a classic negotiator, textbook negotiator.
Oh, 100%.
Like, he's the one that gets it done. I've been with
Keith throwing me like, hey, man, no, I got it. Like, oh, no, we already good. Oh, shit, we good.
You'd be like, we was going to Atlanta. We went to Atlanta last year for his birthday. He said, no, it's good. When we get there, we got the whole thing laid out. I'm like, in Atlanta? Yeah, we good. We got it all laid out. Got there. It was even like 10 times what I expected it to be. Keith got hooked
up.
Keith, a classic negotiator. But, yeah, man, before we turn the page, though, man, we ain't even talk about what we're drinking right now, where we've been at. But, like, what is you drinking on, like, in general, like, right now?
Matt, I'm, Prisoner is my all-time favorite.
Prisoner's a cab, right?
It's a blend, man.
Okay.
It's a blend. It's really good. That's my all-time favorite. Obviously, Angel's Envy Rye. I'm a bourbon wine guy, a cab guy. What else were we sipping on?
I'm talking about when we was in Atlanta, and we had semi-tough night before. But we walked into that spot, and you saw the Japanese section, and it was just like, oh, I'm going to need that whole thing.
Oh, yeah. The Japanese bourbons are all great, man, believe it or not. I think it was Hibeki. Hibeki is one of those that's really good. Absolutely, yeah. He's my guy, though, man. He keeps me up on the vino.
Now, you're the.
Turn it up a little bit, my ear.